Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club, if you're joining us for the first time, is we ask two of our comedy pals to come on, tell two stories. One is a truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out with the people playing along with us which one is the lie. And our trusty on-air producer, Mr. Michael Evans, will be jotting down the stories, and he will recap them at the end, and we'll take a vote. Jessica, would you please introduce our guests?
She's a lovely lady. You've seen her, or you will see her at corporate events and clubs and colleges near you very soon. I met her at the U.S. Comedy Contest that she hosts every year at the Ice House. This is Miss Melissa Greenberg.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Welcome. Welcome. Our next guest, Jessica.
Next guest, not only is she funny, she's already cracking us up already with tanning womb jokes. But she has a show that she does monthly at the Comedy Store, Minority Reports, and I think she does it all over. Hopefully we get back to that soon, because we want the Comedy Store open. She's so funny. Please put your hands together for Mona Shake.
Yay. Good to be here, you guys. Good to be here.
So let's just jump to it. So what's going to happen is we're going to start with Mona. And then Mona will tell a story, then Melissa, you'll tell a story, then Mona will tell a story, then you'll tell a story, and that's when Michael will do the recap. And welcome everyone that's playing along and or watching and or will hear us. Know that we are Zooming until everything gets better, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 o'clock. And you can catch us all on our Twitter feed if you want to do that. I want to give a shout out real quick, Jessica, real quick, Mona, real quick, Jason Marino, real quick, Melissa, real quick, Michael Evans, to that one fucker who's listening to us in Thailand. God, listeners, you know, right? And the guy in Finland or the girl or whoever is listening in Sweden, we see that you guys are listening and we certainly appreciate that. All right, Mona, your turn.
Yay. So I bought myself a brand new BMW. I was very excited, took it off the lot, brought it home. 6 months in, started having a lot of car problems, took it back. They said that it's, you know, they're going to fix it, and they refused to fix it. And then I kept going back over and over again. They finally decided to fix it. The console would shut off while I was driving the car. And they finally replaced it. And I had the car for about 2.5 years. And then one night I went to bed. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, woke up to somebody chopping a tree. And I was like, who the hell is chopping a tree? And I woke up, and then my neighbor knocked on the door and said, your car is on fire. I said, what are you talking about? I said, your car is on fire. I said, not my car. He's like, yeah, your car. So I throw my robe on. Jump right outside. The entire block is shut off. Fire trucks everywhere. The entire garage is flooded. The sound that woke me up is they were cutting, opening the hood of my car because the entire engine had burned and melted and collapsed to the ground. And then they asked me to leave my premises because they thought that somebody was trying to murder me. They ruled it as a homicide. And then I had to evacuate my premises for a few days until they ruled it as just a combustion, like the car blew itself up.
First of all, what series? What number? What kind of car? That's what I want to know.
Series of 328i.
Okay.
Right. What year?
2017.
This just happened, mm-hmm. Like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Maybe or maybe not.
Didn't they have like a whole time where like Teslas were catching on fire?
Mercedes were catching on fire. I think some of the Teslas were catching on fire. I know that one guy died in a Tesla while he was on a freeway and he fell asleep, yeah. And the car smashed and, you know, crashed into another car and he died. Yeah.
All right.
So all right. I will still drive a Tesla though.
Yeah.
What? I can't afford one.
I was watching Red Band the other day and he went live on Twitter or whatever he was doing. And he was in his Tesla trying to charge it up because he lives in an apartment building. So he can't put the charger. So he has to go and charge up at the mall in the morning or something.
Yeah. What? How bad do you gotta have one?
I know. You have to get up and go do that out of your day.
What do you drive now, Mona?
I drive a Lexus now.
Would you ever get another BMW?
Fuck no. They're horrible cars.
So did they say exactly what started it, or did they have any clues? Like maybe it was.
Yeah. So a year after that incident happened, there was an article that ABC did this undercover investigation and found out that BMWs around the country were blowing up in people's garages and burning people's homes down. And we ended up suing BMW and lost.
You lost? What?
Lost.
Why did you lose?
Yeah. Because BMW has pretty fantastic lawyers, and they came out and said that when I was taking the car in for a repair, apparently they claimed that there were rats crawling into my engine and eating the covering of the wires, because it's an electrical and a mechanical. And because the wires were exposed, because of the heat of the engine, caused the fire, causing it to burn down.
Oh, so wow. It was an electric one that was half gas, half electric or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that the square one, the square BMW?
No, the square one, it's the 328i, the 3 series, the 328i, the sedan, the four-door.
Okay, all right.
I'm furious if this is true. That is such fucking bullshit. The garage was flooded. Where did the fire reach for shit to start going wrong with the house? And did you? I mean, I know you got out of there because they ruled it like some sort of maybe potential homicide shit. But were you fearful of the house burning down? If there's flames close to the house and the garage is flooded and shit's going wrong, like that would be my stress. Like I can't leave. I think the fire is going to touch the home. What was going on there?
Yeah, so the car, my parking spot is right below my apartment. So
okay.
The car lit itself on fire because my landlord's a slumlord and he refuses to fix the fire sprinklers. Thankfully, God must have taken pity on us that finally one of the sprinklers went off. Of all the three, there was only one that went off, and that's what alerted the fire folks to come out.
Wow.
And put the fire out. Otherwise, the building, I would have been the first one to die in the building, and then they would have spread the fire all along.
So. How many apartments would you guess are in that building?
11.
And is it like an old school building? Is it a newer building?
No, it's an old school building.
Yeah, and so...
No, I'm old school sure you're finding out how much money I actually have, but yeah, no, it's an old school building.
It's like you live in Hollywood where the riots are.
Driving a Lexus and a BMW, she can't afford a newer building? Come on, Mona.
Okay, fair
enough.
You
know what? You know what I'm thinking? Because since COVID, I've been watching the news every day.
Finally.
I feel like she might be putting together some stories that I've seen recently on the news, right? Because there was a car that this guy took and tried to kill him and his two daughters over the ledge in San Diego. And then there was a guy that died in an apartment fire. So I just feel like maybe she's been watching the news, you know, Minority Report.
Is that, Jessica? It's like a guy killed his two daughters and then died in an apartment fire and I was fingered in a BMW once. Like, what are you talking about?
You know what, Felicia? I think that's one of my regrets, not getting fingered in a BMW.
Yeah.
Burnt down before I could live out that fantasy.
Bucket list.
Fingered in a BMW, but it was my own fingers.
Not even that, I wish.
All right, let's keep it along. Great story, and we're moving now to Melissa's story.
Okay, so I don't know what the statute of limitations are in some of this stuff, so I'm changing some names to protect the marginally guilty. I grew up in San Diego. I went to Patrick Henry High School. Woohoo! And I graduated, let's see, 1986. So back then, Mexico was a safe place to go dancing. I was taller, so I looked older, and I could get into bars if I borrowed a friend's ID. But it was just easier for me to go to Mexico because faking, like, you know, being 17 and faking like 6 months was easier than trying to fake 21. And they didn't really check. Like, you could get across the border, you could go to a club, and then after a while, you start to know the people, all the security. They're actually cops, you know, and so once in a while you tip them. And so they stopped checking to see if I was 18. I was close, but not close enough. So we'd go down every weekend to go dancing. And it was kind of towards the end of the year, May, early June. And I go down there and with some girlfriends, and there's this group of guys, and they're all in like matching Madras shirts I know people don't wear them now, but do you know what those are? Kind of light pastel plaid.
Right.
No? Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Light pastel.
Yeah, they're plaid shirts, but they're light cotton. They're for like hotter climates. I mean, they're really pretty shirts. And back then, guys would wear peg their jean pants, the jeans legs, and all these guys were doing that. So everybody had their little pegged, their jeans pegged at the ankles. Anybody over 40, 45 is going to know what I'm talking about. But you roll up the end and kind of tuck it in. And then they wore these Madras shirts. They were really pretty. And they're pastel colors and they're plaid. I don't know. I haven't seen one probably since the early 90s. But so there's a whole group of guys wearing like matching shirts. And this one guy, they kind of join us on the dance floor. And he's an amazing dancer. And he happens to be gorgeous. And he's blonde, blue eyes. He looks like an athlete. And he actually talks like a normal human being. Like he was intelligent. We're dancing. We're all night. And we start making out. It's like, I just remember it was like Prince's song Kiss was a big deal. Extra time and your kiss. So we're all doing that. It's getting kind of sweaty down there. And that's when you look good being sweaty, like in your teens, early 20s. It's okay to be sweaty. I would not be sweaty now ever. It's just sad. So we're partying all night. Because Mexico stays open all night, Tijuana, at the end of the night. And he's down there. I ask him, what are you doing down here? He says, oh, it's my brother's bachelor party. And this way, everybody could get in and go drink and have a good time. Makes sense. We're finishing up the night, and we're having a hard time separating. Like, his group is over there waiting for him. We're eating those little hot dogs on the street. And I don't know, if you haven't had a Tijuana dog, it's an experience. They're delicious. I don't know what's in them. Rats. Don't care. They were amazing. I'd eat one right off the sidewalk in Tijuana. They're so good. Onions, bacon, everything. I'd even eat the little toothpick or whatever stuck in them. Doesn't matter. It's delicious. So we're shoving these things in our face because that's what you do when you're wasted. It's that or Denny's. Those are your choices. And then he walks me back to the border. I give him my number. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I hope he calls. Yay. I've got hands full of Chiclets, those little gums. And that was it. That was the great weekend. I'm telling all my friends I met this great guy. This Monday at school, I head into science class. And I walk into my second period science class. And there's that guy. The guy that I'd been making out with on the dance floor. He's our substitute. He's the TA for that class now. And he's assigned to do all the... It's physiology. He's assigned to do... the projects with us, and the two of us are just like, because I guess he's 21 and I'm 17 and apparently and a student, and that's a big deal even back in the day when I was in school before the internet. People were getting in trouble for that kind of thing. But
did you make out any more after that when you found out?
That's your view, Jessica.
right No, he was mortified. I guess he thought I was older, and I just assumed he was younger because I figured that's what he's doing in Mexico with the group. When he said, it's so everybody could get in and go dancing, I figured, okay, he just graduated high school, or he just looked my age, and I looked a little older. So I thought, okay, maybe he's 19 or 20, but he was like 22, 21, 22, and it was just totally embarrassed, and he was there for like a week, and then he got transferred somewhere else.
You know,
I got a question.
Okay.
Yes.
I hate blowing the cover on my white trash upbringing here, but my high school, I don't even know if I know what physiology is right now. I don't know if I can tell you confidently.
Oh, it's
I don't think we had physiology class.
Yeah, it was AP science, but it's like the study of the human body.
You and I didn't get in those classes.
Well, I can't do math, if it makes you feel any better. I don't math at all, but the science was cool. This was the study of the human body, so we got to dissect cats and frogs and fun stuff. Yeah, in high school. It was nasty. Wow. It was gross.
What a trip.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to act like a smarty pants, but I think that's called anatomy.
Yes, but they call it physiology. So I think it's just everything physio, the whole body, everything the vascular system, everything. The respiratory system is gross.
You know what my favorite type of liar is, Jessica Wellington?
What?
When people go on and on with all
No, I do that anyway.
I have that too.
Like when people do that, it's like,
I talk the ears of a brass monkey. The other stories, yeah, long involved.
You're trying to tell me that they have Denny's down in Mexico?
Right over the border. Right over the border. And you know, Patrick,
that wasn't safe to go to Mexico in 1986.
Yeah, it was. I mean, not like if you were in the service, they had just started telling people not to go down there, but we went like every weekend, late 80s. It wasn't like it is now. It wasn't dangerous. Like if you did something stupid, I guess you could end up in jail somewhere with a cucumber in your ass. But we just got in the cab and went, like, it's not like we're walking around down there downtown at night. You get in the cab, you take Mr. Toad's wild ride all the way to Avenida Revolucion, where the clubs are, and you go dancing. I'm just so excited to talk to other adults. This is I've been in the house with my kids for 3 months. This is amazing.
I feel it.
Let's make fun of each other. That's all I gotta say. Because every time I breathe, my teenagers are like, "What the fuck, mom?"
Well, my kids are 6, and I'm locked in the bedroom. And yeah, the boyfriend has them outside in the yard. I'm just like, please give me 20 minutes.
Right? Yeah, that's a great age and a tough age. But you're a liar, anyway. So. Well, all right. I can believe that because when I think I told the story before, when I was in junior high, I was in eighth grade, and one of my classmates named Yvette married my science teacher.
Whoa!
You said that! That's right!
At what age? How old was Yvette?
She was in eighth grade, too. So then when we became, it might have, then when we went to high school, she was a JV cheerleader and married. Yeah. And he was like Robert Redford, too.
Like married in high school?
And they met in junior high.
So she was married in high school, like while she was like Mrs. something or other.
Oh, she was a JV cheerleader. Yeah. She's very beautiful. Yeah. It's crazy.
I don't feel so bad now. That's just, yeah. I just
think would he come to bat for her with middle school drum? Oh, shit. Sorry, my phone's ringing. I didn't know you guys could still hear me. My phone is ringing all of a sudden. How do I stop that? It's not, now this joke is not going to be funny with poor timing, but would if there were some girls arguing, would he go like, hey, that's my wife? And then you wouldn't let him fight. Imagine in real time, you guys, that was going to fucking destroy.
Yeah, that was crazy. So that part I totally believe. Yeah. And all right, so let's move on to Mona's second story, but we need to wait actually till Michael comes back because he's writing.
My phone rang, babe. Would you go see if there's food outside? Yeah. Thank you.
I was just gonna say there's just a lot of Chris D'Elia's walking around. I mean, between the teacher and now the 21-year-old making out with the 17-year-old. In your case, Melissa, that's a little
terrible. I looked older. Like, huh? I looked older, so I get his mistake.
Delia said, too, he can't tell the difference between 14-year-olds and 30-year-olds, so there's also that.
Right, I saw that.
Moving on.
I have a fucking 19-year-old and a 20-year-old.
Yeah. You look great, Felicia. You look great. Next story.
Huh? Leah's great, but it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't want to look like that. He doesn't look great at all. You look great. What's the next story? Everyone has their horrible Tinder story. I have a horrible Tinder story. I met this guy, we started talking, and I'm from the East Coast. He's also from the East Coast. We started talking, we're like, oh, we're both New Yorkers. Da, 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 da. He's like, hey, let's meet up at the Grove. And I was like, awesome. We meet up at the Grove. And while I'm waiting in the parking lot, I see a very big man wobbling his way towards me, calling my name out. And I was like, nah, that can't be. That can't be the guy. And it was like, no, that is the guy. That is the man. And he approached me and I was like, oh, awesome. Cool. He's like, you want to go eat? And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. That's what we're going to do. We go to the restaurant. We sit down. We order. But he was asking for a table all the way in the back where there really wasn't much going on, where we were like in a quiet place. So we go sit in this quiet place. As during our conversation, he wants me to sit next to him because there's like this bench kind of a thing. And I sit next to him. During our conversation, he's trying to get all chummy and I'm not feeling very comfortable. And he begins to take my hand and starts to move it towards his junk. And I am not cool with it. And I'm like, what's going on? And he was like, no, it's like nothing. It's just like, come on, we're adults. Like we're just having fun. And I was like, no, you're having fun. I am feeling creeped the fuck out right now. This person was trying to move my hand in, and I then was like, I am not comfortable with any of this. I got up, moved my seat, and then sat down. And I think today I would probably tell this person to go fuck themselves. But I think back then I was pretty nice. So I just kind of sat down and I was like, we're just going to finish this meal and then I'm going to peace out. And then he was like, I'm sorry. I think I just overstepped some boundaries. And I was like, overstepped some boundaries. Like you were at the verge of pulling your dick out, like for God's sake.
You're a sex offender now is what you are.
That's exactly what he is. And then I walked away and then he was like later texting me and he was like, hey, you know, I think you're a really wonderful girl. And I was like, I don't feel that you're a wonderful girl. I think you're a horrible predator. Please don't contact me. And then later I somehow learned that this person has children with like three different women, which is, you know, a giant red flag besides him trying to pull his dick out on a first date.
Now, this story sounds completely plausible.
Plausible, right? Oh, yeah.
I thought this one was a lie.
When don't guys pull their dick out? Guys always pull their dick out. Like, you're like, hey, can I? And it's already out. Or I'd like to see it, boom, out. So, yeah.
I'm just waiting for my moment.
Trying to
the guy takes your hand and puts it on your junk, and then you're like, well, let's finish our meal.
Today I won't do that.
But back then, I guess I was like, I was just feeling intimidated or feeling like I didn't want to be rude and get up and leave while he was being a complete asshole. But today will be a different thing because I've just, you know, now I just don't take that kind of crap anymore.
How old were you? No, I mean, okay, how many years ago was this?
My early 30s.
Early 30s? You tell that guy to go fuck himself?
Yeah, and I didn't. I should have.
Oh, Jason Marino asks, that's a good question. Did you split the check?
No, fuck no. That fucker was going to pay for the whole thing. Fuck him. Let him pay for it.
I didn't do online dating for a long time because I had my first experience and last for a long time was horrible, just like this. It was... like the guy he was a computer nerd and I thought, cool, he's into computers and he came, but he was wearing socks and sandals and he was wearing a collared shirt that was all like, ugh, and it had stains on it. And he looked like he hadn't combed his hair. And I was like, this is a first date, dude. This is how you're gonna, and he just kept wanting me to go back to his place to watch movies. And I was like, I think I'm good.
What movies are we talking about?
Yeah, the guy can't wear a clean t-shirt on the first date.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that doesn't feel like he's representing himself as a man very well. I mean, like, pretty much a dude wearing sandals in public is a guy saying, I'm prepared to not fight. I don't have to run. I'm not, like, you can't do anything in sandals. He can't do anything.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, in response to Jason Moreno saying that that's why I stayed, no, he was going to pay for the meal regardless. So fuck that guy. I said because I was just being nice. Regardless, if the check had come, I would have just sent it his way anyways. I'm like, here you go.
Kyle on Facebook says he left the tip.
Yeah, he did. He tried.
It's hard to pay the check if you've got your hand on his dick because then you're trying to eat. And you got, yeah.
Well, Lynn, not to be... indelicate, I don't know if that's the right word to say, but what part of the meal did he make you move your hand towards his nether regions?
Great question.
Probably around, I think we were like maybe like a little bit halfway through the meal, we were just like having like a fun conversation. He saw that I was relaxed. I think that was his cue, that I was relaxed. I think that's when he came in. That's when he came for the kill.
Faux pas to stop you from nourishment so you could touch his dick.
Dick, yeah. Yeah, he was like, let's, dessert got served early, bitch.
And I hate to be this person, but how long has Tinder been a thing?
How many years ago did you say, Rona?
This is like 4 or 5 years ago.
That's possible. I think I saw it in like 2014.
Okay, 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, that's close, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. I have my thoughts, but we're moving along. All right, Melissa, your second story.
Okay. This will also be long and detailed. So, yeah. I guess in the early 90s, I moved to New York and I spent the last 25 years there. And I'm only telling this story because I'm pretty sure everybody's dead that was in it. So I think we're good. I was married to a Russian guy. And I got to say, if you're going to marry someone from another country, know a little something about that country, you know, like the language or, you know, anything about the country. I liked the way he talked. He was cute. The accent was nice and whatever. I was stupid. So
did he own any wild animals?
No.
No monkeys in his apartment in Russia?
No. We were in New York. Okay. We were in New York and we were living together. And he would go to visit his friend Boris. He's Russian, but Boris is Georgian, which I didn't know that wasn't Atlanta, Georgia. I was like 27. So this was like, this is, again, before the internet really, and before, I didn't know anything about other countries other than Mexico, really. So he's like, yeah, Boris is from Georgia. I'm like, that's interesting. And he's always hanging out with him. All right, he goes, Boris is inviting us to dinner in Queens, you know. He says, first we'll go see him in Queens and then we'll go to dinner. Okay. So we go to Queens and there's a big street, Queens Boulevard. And that's kind of where all the Russian shops were. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there, but this one particular area had all the Russian shops. And we show up, we meet Boris. He's sitting kind of in this little park bench area and all the shop owners come out to greet him. And my husband at the time, he says, Andre, he goes, what do you like? Do you like caviar? And I'm like, yeah, I love caviar. He says, okay, I get you caviar. I'm like, all right. So he goes over, he's talking to Boris and everybody's lining up to shake this guy's hand. I said, wow, what is he like, the mayor or something? He's amazing, this guy. Look at how much people love him. And they're all giving him little brown bags of gifts, little things. And my husband comes back with what has to be a $500 can of caviar. Awesome. And great. He goes, okay, in a little while we go to dinner, we'll go Brighton Beach. Okay. Brighton Beach, little Odessa, that's another little area of just Russians. What's cool about that area is if you see something you like in a store and you're like, I want to taste some, like they'll give you some to taste. It's not like, you know, you got to order everything. They'll bring you a little something to try. And I like that. So we sit in this place, Kafkaz, which has to do with the Caucasus region, I'm told. I don't know. All I know is I'm hanging out with these Russian people. I don't know what they do. It didn't occur to me to ask. Now, 25 years in, like it's a second thing I do. It's like you meet somebody, it's like, hi, what do you do? And but back then I'm like, oh, look, we're going out with these people.
You blow the mobster. Get to that part.
Yes. So, yeah, no. So we're hanging out and everybody's getting drunk. And the Georgians, it's where I learned the word for gorilla in Russian, because they're abizhyana, they're furry motherfuckers. So they're all drinking. And at the end of the night, I mean, I lived in Manhattan, so we're an hour from home. And I'm like, well, I'm all dressed up. Do we get on a train? Like, what do you want to do? I want to take a car service. And he says, no, Boris is getting us a ride home. Okay. And Boris turns to his driver, who's sitting next to him, getting wasted the entire time. He goes, Igor, I command you, get sober. And Igor passes out right there on the floor, passes out right at the table. And I'm like, I am not getting in that guy's car. Sorry. And my husband looks at me and he goes, listen, I didn't want to tell you but we can't offend Boris. I said, how am I offending him by not wanting to get in a drunk driver's car? He says, all I'm seeing is that we were at Samovar last week and he shot the singer in the foot because he offended him. I'm like, okay, well, great. So there's some back and forth. I'm hearing Amerikanskile, and they're pointing at me and he's apologizing. All I know is he's apologizing profusely. And I'm like, look, are you shooting me in the foot or not? Because I'm American and I'm going home and I'm not getting in a drunk driver's car. And, you know, they're just like, ha, 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 ha. Everybody thought I was kidding. And I walked out and I left and nobody got shot in the foot. We make it home. And like 2 days later, he's arrested for racketeering, this guy. Like, I mean, like I now looking back, I'm like, oh shit. I, you know, what was I in?
You married a guy before you knew what he did?
No, well, I knew what he did. He was in imports, exports, business.
He did business. Temecula? You had to run away to Temecula to get the fuck away from him?
Yeah, well, no, he died. That was like early 90s. No, seriously, he had it coming. But it had nothing to do. I didn't do it. I mean, people who know me, like, know that is possible. Like, I was going to tell a story about the time I shit in someone's purse, but they were like, that's probably not true. And I'm like, no, but it could be. So I didn't tell that one.
I will say that I lived when I lived in Vegas, when I was in the military, I lived in a guest house behind a family of Russians. And my dad was like, oh, you need to be careful. They're probably Russian mafia and all this. And I was like, Dad, stop. Like, that is so, like, every Russian is not mafia. You know, but then soon I found out, like, they never went to work. They were always going to gun shows. Like, they probably were mafia.
New BMW.
So did he have tattoos?
No, he was like what they call hooligan, like wannabe. Like, well, we called it govna, which is like Russian for bullshit. Like, he would drive him around. But I think it's when you're in a Russian prison. Like, those people identify themselves with who's a thief. He, like, used to explain what all the tattoos mean. But he did not have tattoos. He had some interesting scars, but no tattoos. I think he more or less wanted to be, so he hung out with them. But he was not actually, you know, like, what? Like, later on, I would find, like, guns in the house. And I'm like, okay, you got half an hour to get that shit out, or else you're gone. He's like, I'm just holding it. I'm like, no, no, no. You know?
Right. Well, I love your Russian accent, though. I'll give you that. What do you think, Mona? You think the story is the truth?
I speak fluent, asshole. Is this a clean show?
Goodness, no. I've cursed many times. I think Melissa's second story is true, and the first one isn't.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, because she keeps, the way she's talking, it seems more personal. You know, like, she was definitely married to this guy and she was just young and ignorant. I don't say ignorant, you know, but you know, when you're young.
I'm still ignorant.
Plus, when the fuck has it been safe for high school teenage girls to go dancing in Mexico? It was the 80s, it was safer then. I don't know.
Right. Isn't that the dance of El Chapo?
No, it was. You go down, you park at the border, you walk across, there's a gate right there. And I mean, it was tons of people did it. It wasn't like you're just going by yourself. You go with a group of girls. So it was, you're under 21, but you're 18 and up. That was okay to dance and drink there. And you just get in a cab right at the border. You go to Avenida de Revolucion. Like, it's a crazy ride, but it's 3 minutes long. And then it's like Vegas. I mean, it's just all lit up and colorful.
So Jason wants to know if the substitute teacher had any tattoos.
If he did, I didn't get to see them.
Okay, all right.
Unless they were down his throat, in which case I still didn't see them.
All right, Michael, why don't you go ahead, unless someone else has a question, recap Mona's story first, and then we'll pay that.
All right, so Mona's first story. She had a BMW, fresh off the lot, and like 6 months into owning this car, I started having some car troubles. Long story short, she had it 2.5 years totaled. At about 2.5 years, she had it fixed once in that time. She took it to the shop. That's important to the story because that's how she gets fucked over in the end of it. 2.5 years in, she wakes up in the middle of the night to somebody chopping down a tree. It turns out that was actually firefighters trying to chop in through the hood to put out the engine, which had started on fire, which had started everything around it on fire. The fucking garage is flooded. The car is melted up. Everything's a shit show. And they had her get the hell off the premises there for a sec because it looked like some sort of homicide shit. Like somebody might have caught the car on fire on purpose. Ultimately, she loses her lawsuit with BMW because, I don't know, that's some German shiesty shit. I'm sorry, that sounded pretty fucked. But you know what I mean? Doesn't that just seem like you go to fucking battle with a German car company? No way, dog. You get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, second story. I met with a guy on Tinder. They're both in New York City, so it seemed like it was going to work out pretty dope. They met up at the Grove, and they're going to meet up at the Grove. While she's waiting, she's like a fatty wandering toward her and calling her name, and she's like, no fucking way. And he gets there, and of course, first thing he says, want to go eat, even though he'd probably just eaten. She's like, sure. And then he's like, let's get a table way in the back. We should get one way in the back. And he's like, sit next to me. I want you to sit next to me. And then basically during the dinner at some point, he puts her hand on his junk. And he's like, you know, what's wrong? We're adults. This is fun. She's clearly uncomfortable with it. She's like, whoa, no, what the fuck? And then instead of getting out of there, I mean, she was like, that was sexual assault, but I am starving. So they finished up the meal, right? And I guess that's the story, pretty much. She just never called him after that.
Here's my question. So you went and took the car the first time. What did they say was wrong with the car? That they didn't say rats were chewing on it then, right?
Nope. They didn't say. They just kept saying that everything's fine with the car.
So why did you tell that part of the story, when it's what happened was rats ate the...
Well, that was after the lawsuit, right? That's how I lost the lawsuit. Uh-huh. Because they came out and said that apparently in the repair orders, because I mentioned that they had to replace the console. I had to take the car back a few times for it to be checked because the console kept shutting off. And then the reason I lost the lawsuit is because they said that in the, you know, when I brought the car back for repairs, they had apparently told me, which they never did, which is a lie, that the rats were crawling into my my engine and eating up the covering of the wire.
Keep looking down on that one story. Does anybody else see that? You keep looking down. Yeah. And I almost want to believe it. I think the first story is the lie.
The second story is so fucking, it's just realistic. She also told it with some conviction. Like, that seemed near and dear to her. I don't know. I think maybe we would have gotten less emotion if somebody were fabricating a story about something as sensitive as sexual assault. So, and you guys are right about the way she's behaving now. And this is like a story that doesn't sound that fake. Maybe just it happened to her friend or somebody that lives in her apartment building. Maybe she did wake up to it. There was a car on fire. It was in front of her building. She would have died first, but it was just the neighbor's fucking car.
Yeah, Dan says that he's going to go with the second one is true for Mona. And that's why I was asking Mona earlier, like, how big was the apartment building? If you have 11 apartments, it's kind of miraculous that your parking lot or your car just happens to be under your bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You know, that seems kind of odd.
Yeah, Mona, no, explain that.
And where was she living when she had the car?
In Hollywood, right?
Oh,
West Hollywood.
West Hollywood. Do you live in a like two or three story building?
I live in a two story building.
Uh-huh.
Huh. You know, it is, rats do chew wires, and this has come from an ex-rat breeder, okay? So,
right there in the barn.
Next to the tanning booth.
I have bred rats, and they definitely do that. And back in the day, that was a big thing. They would chew wires in cars, but they would get up in there. But with these new cars, I think that they have a different coating on it, but it doesn't happen anymore like it used to. There was something on them, and I can't remember right now that they loved on the wires before, but I'm pretty sure they've changed that. If it was 2017, I just don't see rats finding it tasty.
You're probably right. They used to coat them in A1. It's perfect and it's delicious. Yeah.
I'm part of the rat palate.
But is that what actually happened to the wires, or they just said it was rats?
Yeah,
claim it was rats.
Yeah. Maybe it just was. I wonder if they made the right call, and I'm unrightfully upset about it. You just got, it's unfortunate. But like, I wonder if really Rats did.
Can you unmute Jason for a minute?
Of course.
Jason says, is this my cousin Vinny?
Breakdown of like, well, what I know about cars and stuff.
Yeah. I'm Marissa Tomei. I'm gonna start stomping the floor, saying that my biological clock is ticking.
All right. So, well, did you purchase the whole car outright? Was it? Did you own it 100%, or it was still you owed money on it?
It was a lease.
Did you have to pay any money? Oh, it was. So you didn't have to pay any money. Why would you take him to court if it was the lease?
Because they were claiming that I owed money on it.
Huh.
I think the first story is a lie. I think, what do you think, Melissa?
Well, I had a Passat that used to have all kinds of electrical issues, and like the car was just smarter than I was, and it would just do shit. So it's not inconceivable to me that a German car would just be outsmarting everybody. I don't know shit about cars, so if it was back east, I'd be more inclined to believe that rats ate the wires because it's cold. Like, I could see a cat in the engine. I could see all kinds of stuff happening.
A lot of rats in West. There's a lot of rats everywhere in California.
But there's lots of other things for them to eat, though.
I think second story is true. That first one is there's some truth to it, because it's just that she is looking down at the details. I mean, watch, I'm going to be fucking wrong because I always am. But I think there's just truth to the story. But I just don't think the second one is her lie here. So
I do.
Whoa.
You think the second story is a lie?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, she seems like a pretty sharp girl. And I could imagine if she was like 20 or in her early. How old are you?
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah. How old are you, Mona? Okay. Well, okay. Just guessing. All right. But you know, like, I could see if you'd be like freaked out by that happening. I can't see her doing that on a first date, a blind date, sitting next to someone, or that's, you know, true. that he'd be close enough to take your hand during dinner, or just the, you know, there's just a few things that I'm just like, right. It's not that it's impossible, and it's not that it maybe couldn't have happened to someone else. I just could see her making an excuse and not like, hey, let's finish dinner. I could see being in shock enough to do that if she was like 21 or just barely like hadn't gone on a few dates. Right. I don't want to make it sound like she's seen a lot of penises. So, you know, like, of course she just finished her meal, but
thank you.
I don't know. That was the one. And I'm, you know what? And if it is true, I'm really sorry. And I want to go back in time and kick his ass for you. But, that's the one that, I mean, she might've had a bad date. I'm not sure that that's the one that happened on. Personally, I'm more inclined to believe the car and that she didn't know what was wrong with it. And then it caught fire and then all of that.
I'm with Melissa now. I'm switching.
So you think the second story is a lie?
I'm scared, but I think she's got me on her side now.
So now Michael thinks that the rats are a lie. And
why would you go with that baddie? She saw this. She said he was waddling up.
A lie.
He would get on the pegs of his rascal chair or something. But you said he was a big guy. He waddled up. Like, let's go get some food. He might have been like, you know what?
She wasn't going to be rude. I mean, you know, like a guy would do that, like just bail on somebody.
Yeah.
But a girl, she seems like a nice person. She probably like, well, maybe he's got a great personality and I'll get through the free meal.
but skeptical. She's already skeptical maybe, right? And then she does go. Then he's like, hey, put your hand on my dick here. And then she's like, I'm still going to finish the meal. I think you'd just bail, especially early 30s, you'd just bail. Right?
Or... Yeah, like I think once if you're a little older, you pull. I mean, I've been in situations where people have done shady shit, and you're just like, or I'm 15. I think I was in a resort and somebody was jerking off behind me, like some guy, and I didn't know what to do. And he's like, you don't mind if I do this? And I'm like, yeah, have at it. And I ran away, but that was at like 14, and I hadn't seen penises really then. Wow. So I think about if she's back east, if she's from back east, if she spent any time back there and that was happening, it kind of kicks the nice out of you. And I believe that she would be like, I'm not touching your penis or dick or whatever she would say. I don't know.
Let me tell you, Melissa, like I've got no idea how I feel anymore. I don't know what I think.
She just seemed more sure about that one.
Who says the first story is true? Who says the first story is true?
Michael?
Fine. First story is true.
All right. Everyone else is saying that first story is a lie.
Michael got reeked up.
Mona, what story is the lie?
The second one.
Ah!
Woo!
She was looking down.
Killer work. Thank you, Melissa.
I'm not kidding. Like, if it makes you feel any better, I my gut told me that you wouldn't go along with that.
Yeah.
The second story, but the rats just seem so crazy. And for you to lose the lawsuit, like, that really pisses me off now.
You know what they were claiming? You know what they were claiming? That what the rats were eating? Because the new cars, the new BMWs that they're coming up with, their wires are covered with this this covering that they made is made of soy. And that's what the rats love to eat.
It used to be A1.
Mm-hmm. But now they're eating the soy, and apparently that was exposing the wires, and that's what caused the car to burn down.
I don't know. I guess they're the only ones that would eat that, because soy is gross.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on. Great story, so Mona, you fucking got me. Moving on.
All right. Thank you.
Moving on, Michael, Melissa's stories.
All right, so Melissa's first story. She grew up in San Diego. She graduated in 86, and back at this time in high school, her and a group of girls, they go to Mexico and go dancing a lot. It was easier than fake ID in the U.S., and they got real casual, comfortable with Border Patrol and shit. I mean, they were doing this a lot, and this is an occasion in, like, May or June. They go down there, they go dancing, and there's all these guys in matching Madras shirts, and they're pegged at the ankles and shit, and they're real handsome and shit, right? And one guy, he's a fucking hunk, he's dancing with her, they're making out all night, the prince is going, they're sweating, they look great, and it's a bros bachelor party, right? And so that's why they're down there, and so she figures he's kind of like the right age to be doing this with her. Hold on, before I go on to that part, I should clear up, did we find out that he is, how much difference in age, did you think he was going to be the same, what do we figure out about his age, how old was he?
I didn't ask him, I just asked why they were down there. So when he said it was a bachelor party and it was so everybody could get in and drink and dance, I immediately figured he was 18 and not 22.
Who was getting married were a bunch of high school people were going to a bachelor party.
But his brother. Mm. So his brother was like 24. And I just figured that it was just, he was one of the ones that was underage, but they had a cousin who was like 18, 19.
And how did you know his brother?
He told me. He pointed him out. He said, "My brother's over there." He said,
"You just went dancing. You didn't go to that specific bachelor party."
No, no, no. I was there in a club, and that group was there in a club. And I said, "Oh," and they all had these matching shirts. And I was like, "Why are you guys dressed alike? Like, why are you?" And he said, "We're a bachelor party." And he said, "My brother's getting married," and I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "My cousin isn't 21." He said, or some of us. So it was like, and my cousin's not 21. He pointed out a couple of people. I was like, cool. I didn't even ask how old he was. I just presumed he was one of the people that was under 21.
All right, well, check it out. Hold on. Fuck how old he, hold on. Well, you guys are sucking on Tijuana dogs. He walks into the border. Then Monday at school, second period, physiology class. He's the TA. Okay, long story short. You said this was in May or June, right? You've never seen this guy before. Graduation is in June. School's over in June. Why is this guy starting a brand new TA job with a month of school left? But your face is not looking like I gotcha. I'm starting to regret everything.
But I think that's good. I think that's a good training.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He had, I didn't ask him like, what are you doing there? He just had hours to do. So I guess he was studying to be a teacher, but I know he was into science. It was part of, I didn't mention that in the story, but it was something that we talked about. So he was talking about geckos and all kinds of other crap. Like native, the stuff that was native to that area. I'm like, oh, nerd, science. So because he was so athletic, I didn't expect him to be, it's a stereotype, sorry, but I didn't expect him to be so intelligent. And I was just surprised at how well-spoken he was. I thought it was hot.
for a substitute teacher.
I can see why you'd be surprised that you ended up with a well-spoken guy, because in New York City, in the early 90s, after you moved to New York, where you made for, where you stayed for 25 years, you married a Russian guy, knowing nothing about Russia. And your Russian guy, I think Andre, he said he visited his Georgian friend Boris a lot. And one time you guys want to go get dinner in Queens with Boris. And so you guys meet Boris. All the shop owners are sucking his dick like he's the president, or like he's Putin, I guess. And,
he's shaking his hand.
Right, but right.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine they're really blowing him there. Okay. Anyway, so they're all, they're being real good to him, special treatment. Clearly, they're shaking his hands. He's a big deal, right? And everyone's getting drunk, and it's the end of the night. And Andre's like, Boris will get us a ride home. And Boris's like, yeah, my driver will sober up. Hey, driver, sober up. And at that moment, the dude fucking passes out. And you're like, I'm not getting in the car with this motherfucker. And Andre's like, hey, we can't offend Boris, because Boris is an attempted murderer at least. And that's just last week. So you go, fuck that, I'm walking. And Boris is arrested 2 days later on a bunch of racketeering charges and shit. I think that's it.
I don't know. This is like, I think even if you are trying to be a wannabe, but you're driving around the mafia boss, like some guy that's, you know, up and up, that you don't have any tattoos.
Nope.
That's what's throwing you off?
Yeah.
Nope, he didn't have any tattoos.
That makes sense.
Not that Boris, Georgian Boris, is head of the Russian mafia, dog?
No. Yeah. He's Georgian, but they're part of their own. There's no actual, the Russian mob isn't like the Italian mob, like where it's a family. Like, this is groups of individual dickheads that do shit. Like, they get together, they do shit, and it's like, oh, these three guys did this crime, and then that's all those tattoos indicate, like people they killed. It's kind of like the gangs here, but they're not a family like that. These are people that get together for a job and then go, like, the next week they go kill the other guy and his head's in the toilet, and it's just...
Did your husband ever give you, like, little clues about what was up? Like, business talk?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I knew that... I, you know, he was exciting and he was interesting, and...
This is real. This is true.
He'd done some shady shit. And they all did shady shit. It's like, that's kind of... Like, black market stuff is what you did in Russia, and then they come here and they do... It's amazing. I could never go get a job in Russia, but they learn the language and, you know, they commit all kinds of crimes.
Did you know back in that time frame, the Russian mob took over the Italian mob?
Because there's no loyalty. It's just individual dickheads getting together to do whatever crime they're doing.
I think the Russian thing is a lie.
I'm all in on Russia's story. I think it's, or wait, for no, that first one's a lie. I don't like this dude getting a TA job with a month left. What kind of fucking, no way. And this, I don't know. I don't got to explain myself. The Russian story is true.
He's a substitute. Was he a TA or a substitute teacher?
He was a TA.
A total asshole.
How many people were in your grade?
In that particular class, there were like 25 people, 22, 25.
In your school.
Oh, like 1,000 in my grade. It was a big high school.
It's some just, of them are where I grew up, there was no TAs in high school.
I had them.
Some of them would come back. I actually was one. I went back to Patrick Henry and I taught drama there. And I was like a TA or whatever they called me, but I would teach, I taught a session of production.
So
but I will say that Melissa asked about if she could share this show to her high school class
I have a group of Henry heads.
What if she's telling this story because they would know it and be all excited?
That's why I didn't mention his name.
That is why. God damn it.
But Dan makes a good point. He says, yeah, she would have noticed the TA previously. So was there a TA before that?
No, my teacher was the physiology teacher. He was out because of like a broken leg. So I don't know if this guy was just babysitting us, but the teacher had called out. This guy was the first thing I saw after just like first period telling my friends, I met this guy in Mexico and we had the best time.
He was a TA. So that sounds like he was a substitute teacher.
He, he was a TA, I think, for the school district. And he may have been working in another class. I didn't ask what he was like, what got him into the class. I was more freaked out to actually see him. And it was like, I'm in this class today. I'm helping out. And he goes, I'm so glad to see you. And he looked like horrified to see me. And
I think this is a lie. I think that this is maybe one of the stories from maybe one of the people you went to school with. It's their story. It's not yours.
What do you think?
Mona.
I think the second story is a true one, and the first one's a lie.
Mm. I agree.
I can't believe I'm saying this Russian mafia story is true, but shout out Boris, dude. I hope he's probably doing time, huh?
Yeah, but a name like Boris, like that just seems so obvious. What other, you know what I mean?
You want his last name?
No. Yes. Yeah, old boy Tanko, probably.
Yeah, what's his last name, Melissa?
Well, he's Georgian. So.
Yeah. So. That means nothing to me. I don't know.
Garashvili.
Mm. Oh,
that's a classic Georgian last name.
Okay. Jason, we're
just yeah, Jessica would know. Yeah.
So Georgian. That's Georgia written all over it.
I mean, my God.
I didn't know what Georgia was at the time. So, you know, when he was telling me, like, I just thought he's doing stupid shit with his friend from Atlanta. I didn't realize at that point. I figured it. I mean, I learned it subsequently that, you know, Georgia was a country.
When I was a wee girl, I actually went out with this mafia dude, and he would he ever say things like to you that would scare you? Like if so-and-so had, like this guy, it was a scary thing. Like it was kind of sexy. I get what you're saying about that part, but it just seems, that just seems.
Give me an example of something scary but sexy that he could say.
Well, he would be like, one time we were with a bunch of guys, and he was from back east, and then they sent him to the town that I was, or city I was living in, because he was taking over part of the state that I was living in, supposedly. And one night, like, the FBI raided his house, and I had to sit upstairs, and the lawyers had to come, and he had, like, this mansion. And then another time he said to me, at a Rolls Royce, he said to me, if I ever tell you to get up and go to the car, you just fucking get up and go to the car. Like there was, it wasn't.
Yeah,
like,
that's hot.
He just, well, you know, I was fucking like 19, you know what I mean? Like,
whoa.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, do it. So I just feel like that, you sassing off to him.
Maybe not a good move. Not, like, so such a bad move, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
All right, so you're thinking Russian lie.
I'm
still in.
I'm still in
on Russia.
All right. So. Melissa, which story was the lie?
The one about the TA in Mexico.
Yeah!
Yes! Two for two.
Yeah.
Was that somebody that you went to school with story?
No. I know.
Just a liar.
Yeah. We did go dancing in Mexico. I think I might have already been 18 though.
Yeah. Well, those are really two really great stories. I mean, so much detail. I wouldn't have been, obviously, as you can see, not able to pick the lie. You guys both told amazing stories. Thank you, Dan, for joining us. Thank you, Jason, for joining us.
I wanted to share with you what the BMW looked like when it burnt down.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what it looked like when they towed it out of my garage.
So did you have to pay off the lease or anything?
Huh?
Yeah,
they were charging me money for the lease. I was like, what are you charging me for? There's no car. And they're like, you're still part of the lease. And I was like, how about you go fuck yourself? You sold me a bullshit ass car and your car burnt down. And so that's why we came in with a lawsuit and stuff. But then they dropped it. Yeah, because what happens when you get a new lease, they give you this thing called gap insurance. So whenever things like this happen, it takes care of the cost of the car. But I still had some payments left, so I was just like, I'm not making the payments when there's no car.
Yeah. They got their money.
Yeah,
they totally got their money.
It makes you so bad that you lost.
You guys have been such awesome guests. Where can people find you? What can they go? Can you direct them to go see anything? Do you have a special or comedy clips? What do you want to tell people where to follow you? And what you got shaking?
Yeah, I'll. So you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mona's Comedy. I am actually I'm live streaming every day at 6:15 p.m. on YouTube. And you can find me on YouTube under Mona Shaikh, M-O-N-A, last name is Shaikh, S-H-A-I-K-H, comedian, and I'm live streaming every single day. And I also have a comedy album out that's on my website that you can listen to on monashaikh.com, and it's on Amazon and iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Amazon, blah, blah, blah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And how about you, Melissa?
Well, I was performing all over the place until this, you know, COVID-19 happened. And when I MC something and someone doesn't have any credits, I just say, oh, he's working on his Netflix special. Like, Netflix doesn't know that, but
right.
I'm working on it. So I'm working on my Netflix special.
Congrats.
Remind me to tell Netflix. But I am Melissa Is Funny on Instagram and Twitter. And right. Empire Comedy SD on Facebook. That's where I post all the shows that I'm booking and in and doing. So, and I'm Melissa Greenberg on Facebook. Friend me. I'm happy to be friends with everybody.
All right. Melissa, you told some kick-ass stories. You both told amazing stories. And I love that they were so, usually people kind of stick to a theme, but I love that your guys' stories were so varied, right, Jessica?
Yeah, they were all over the place. Russian mafia, BMWs, rat, bad dates. We got it all.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you again, Dan and Jason. And I'm Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. If you would like to see my comedy special, you can go on Amazon. It's there. If you have Prime, it's free. And otherwise, just follow me on Twitter. I'll follow the Liars Club. On Twitter, do us a big favor. Go to iTunes, leave a review. We would love that. Or if you just want to chat with us on Twitter and give us a little cheer, that would be awesome too. You guys are all great. Jessica?
Michael, why don't you go real quick?
Oh.
Just at Mike Levins, LOL, on Instagram. Phone me up and I'll send you a nude if you want. Take it away, Jess.
All right, I'm at Jess Wellington, too, on everything. Give me a follow. Follow the Liars Club, and you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney, believe
you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.